Hi, everyone, and welcome to our deep dive today.
Glad to be here.
We're going to be looking at this idea of the underdog
Okay.
and how they fight for fairness. And we've got these personal stories
Right.
and some historical analysis to really get into this.
Yeah.
And the question we're kind of wrestling with throughout all of this is,
Right.
when does unfair
Right.
become so unbearable
Yeah.
that you absolutely have to take action?
It's a really fascinating question, and it's kind of baked right into the word underdog itself.
Yeah, so where does that term even come from?
Well, believe it or not, it comes from 19th century shipbuilding.
Yeah.
Shipbuilders would literally put someone in a pit, the underdog, holding up the saw, while someone else worked above them, the overdog. So you can really see the power imbalance built right in there.
Yeah, so literally, like from the get-go, it's about being in a less powerful position.
Exactly. And that idea of being in a less powerful position that carries through to how we understand underdog today, whether it's sports or business or even just everyday life. You know, it's about those who start with fewer resources, less influence, just less of a chance.
And we see that playing out in the lives of folks like Petra Hernandez-Angali and Eliza Hertel. These are three individuals from our research who found themselves in incredibly difficult circumstances.
Absolutely. Their stories really show how people become underdogs in modern society. You know, you have Petra, a hardworking mother who tragically dies in a car accident, leaving her family to navigate the legal system. Then there's Anga, a passenger in a taxi who gets injured because of a reckless driver. You know, highlighting the challenges of getting justice in a system that seems like it's more for protecting powerful corporations. And then Eliza, who gets hit with this outrageous hospital bill, she really shows the inequalities in healthcare.
It's really heartbreaking to hear about these situations.
That
I mean,
is.
you can't help but feel for these people who are just trying to get by and then they get hit with these incredibly unfair circumstances. It just makes you think, how much can one person take before they just say, enough is enough?
That's really what we're exploring here. But before we get into their responses, I think it's helpful to take a step back in time and look at a historical example that really shows this abuse of power and how it affects those who are seen as lesser. So let's go back to early California and look at Chief Justice David Terry.
Interesting. What's his story?
Well, imagine this figure who is all about prejudice and he's wielding his power. And he doesn't really care about fairness. That was Chief Justice Terry. He was opposed to basic rights for the Chinese community and the Irish communities, and even advocated for slavery. So his actions really created this system where certain groups were just automatically disadvantaged, making it super hard to fight for their rights or even just live peacefully.
So he was basically rigging the system to benefit himself and hurt anyone he thought was unworthy.
Exactly. And his story takes a really dark turn when Senator David Broderick, who was opposed to slavery, challenged his views. Terry couldn't stand this and challenged Broderick to a duel. A duel, and not just any duel. He rigged it by using a heavier pistol to make sure he had the upper hand. Sadly, Senator Broderick was killed.
That's just chilling to think about someone going that far to keep their power and silence their opposition. It sounds like a movie, but this really happened.
It did. And it's a reminder of how unchecked power and really deep biases can have these awful consequences. Now, we don't have duels anymore, but the barriers to justice for underdogs are still here, especially when it comes to money. Even today, going through the legal system is just complicated and so expensive. And it discourages people from even trying to get justice, especially if they can't afford these expensive lawyers.
Yeah, it creates the sense of hopelessness, like you're trapped in a system that's working against you.
Exactly.
How do we bridge that gap?
How do we even the playing field? I guess that's where the stories of Petra and Eliza come in.
It is. Yeah, they really show how individual action can make a huge difference, even in systems that seem like they can't be changed, like our legal and healthcare systems.
Yeah, let's start with Nagali's case.
Okay.
I mean, a taxi accident, it's something that could happen to anyone.
Right.
You know, you just expect to be safe, and
Oh,
then
yeah.
suddenly you're dealing with injuries
Yeah.
and legal battles
Right.
and a system that just seems designed to protect the cab company and not you, the passenger.
That's a really good point. Nangeli's story isn't just about the accident. It's about challenging this legal idea that was just so unfair to victims.
Okay, what idea?
Contributory negligence.
Contributory negligence. I'm going to be honest, That sounds like something I'd need a dictionary for.
It's actually pretty simple.
Okay.
So imagine you're in an accident, and even if you were only a little bit at fault, like even 1%.
You couldn't get any money for your injuries.
Really?
It was all or nothing.
So even if you were the victim, but somehow partially to blame, you got nothing.
Exactly.
That doesn't seem right at all.
And that's what Ninga fought against.
Good for her.
Her case, Levy Yellow Cab, it became a landmark legal battle that went all the way to the Supreme Court of California.
Wow.
And she won.
She won.
Which changed things for accident victims across the whole state.
That's amazing.
It is.
So how did her case change things?
So because she won, contributory negligence was abolished.
Okay.
And they adopted this new fairer system called comparative negligence.
Okay. What's that?
So now damages are split based on how much each person was at fault.
Oh, okay.
So say you were 20% at fault.
Mm-hmm.
You're only responsible for 20% of the costs.
That makes way more sense.
Right. It's much more balanced.
Yeah.
And takes into account what actually happens in these situations.
It's incredible how one person's fight for fairness can have such a big impact. I mean, changing the law and making things better for so many other people, her story is really inspiring.
It really is. And speaking of inspiring, remember Guadalupe Hernandez?
Yeah. Yeah.
The man who lost his wife in that awful car accident.
Mm-hmm.
His case shows another area where underdogs really struggle.
What's that?
Dealing with insurance companies.
Yeah. His story was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I can't imagine losing your wife like that.
Right.
And then to have the insurance company treat you so badly.
Right.
Offering a tiny settlement that wouldn't even begin to cover what the family needs.
It's a classic example of how big corporations with tons of money try to take advantage of people who are already hurting and grieving.
Right.
But Guadalupe didn't accept their lowball offer.
Good.
He fought back.
Wow.
And a jury gave him a record-breaking payout.
That's amazing.
It is a victory for anyone who's ever felt powerless against these huge companies.
Did his case have a lasting impact?
It did.
Oh.
It set a precedent for how insurance companies value the loss of a parent, especially when there are young children involved.
It's huge.
It is. It forced them to really see the emotional and financial impact.
Right.
And sent a message that they can't just give these small settlements and ignore these cases.
These stories are powerful.
Yeah.
It's like David and Goliath, but in real life, and they won.
Right.
It gives you hope that even when it seems impossible, you can still make a difference.
Right.
And we can't forget Eliza Hertaut, who took on the healthcare system itself.
That's right.
Her story shows how unequal our healthcare system is.
It does.
Especially when it comes to being able to afford it and even just getting access to it.
Yeah.
I mean, her situation was crazy.
It was.
She got this huge hospital bill just because she didn't have HMO insurance.
Right.
It's like your health depends on your insurance.
It shouldn't be that way.
No, it's crazy.
It shows that getting good healthcare shouldn't be just for the people who can afford it.
Right.
Eliza and 11 other people challenged this unfair practice.
So they teamed up to fight back together.
They did.
What happened?
Because of their bravery and hard work, they created this agreement called the Compacts with the Uninsureds.
What did that do?
It completely changed how hospitals deal with uninsured patients.
Okay.
They lowered their charges a lot and made the billing system much clearer.
Wow. So they changed the rules to make healthcare fairer for everyone.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
It is.
We have these three people all with different challenges, but they all found the courage to stand up and say, this isn't right. I'm going to do something about it.
Yes.
And they sparked real change.
And what's really interesting is that their stories are not just one-offs.
Okay.
They show a bigger trend of people pushing back against unfair systems and demanding something better.
Right.
They show that collective action, when people are united by a sense of injustice, can lead to real change.
It's so inspiring, but it makes you wonder what gave them that courage.
Yeah.
What made them decide to fight back instead of just accepting things as they were? I mean, fighting for fairness is hard, especially when you're going up against these big, powerful institutions and practices.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It brings us back to what we've been talking about.
Okay.
When does unfair become unbearable?
Right.
When do people say enough is enough and take action?
Yeah.
It's a tough question with no easy answers.
It's not a simple decision, is it?
No.
There are risks you could face backlash or even fail.
Yeah.
So what do you think motivates people to take those risks and fight for what they believe in?
Right.
Is it just about justice or is there more to it?
Yeah. It makes you think about when that weight of injustice becomes too much to handle.
Right.
Like at that part when you realize You can't just accept things the way they are.
Right. And sometimes it's not even just about your own struggles. Yeah. It's about seeing other people suffer and seeing how unfair things are on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
And feeling like you have to do something, even if it means putting yourself out there.
It's interesting because we've been talking about these incredible stories of individual courage.
Right.
But they also show how injustice can keep happening and how the people in power don't always face consequences.
Right.
Like Chief Justice Terry, he got away with murder.
His story is a reminder that power without any checks and balances
yeah.
can corrupt even the people at the top.
Wow.
His actions, his disregard for the law created this environment of fear and injustice
right.
that affected everyone in California.
And even though he ended up dying violently, it doesn't erase the harm he caused.
No, it doesn't.
It's like this dark reminder from the past that the fight for fairness never really ends.
It doesn't.
It also makes you appreciate the courage of people like Ninga Guadalupe and Eliza even more.
It does.
I mean, they weren't in a duel.
Right.
But they were taking on powerful systems and challenging these deep-rooted practices.
That's where their stories are so powerful. Yeah. They show that courage isn't always about these grand actions or fighting in a war.
Yeah.
It can be about quietly refusing to accept an unfair settlement.
Right.
Or speaking up against discrimination.
Or joining with others to demand change.
And it's not always about winning either, is it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about taking a stand and raising awareness and starting something that might lead to change later on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These stories show us that we all have a part to play in creating a fairer world.
Yeah.
And those roles can be different for everyone.
Okay.
It might be supporting organizations, fighting for social justice, or using your voice to speak out against what's wrong.
Right.
Or even just having open conversations about these issues with your friends and family.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into underdogs and their fight for fairness, I'm left wondering, what does being an underdog even mean to you?
Mm.
Have you ever felt like you were fighting an uphill battle?
Right.
Like the system was against you?
We all have in some way.
Yeah.
We've all been in situations where it felt like there was no fairness and the odds were stacked against us.
Mm.
But these stories show us that even when things are really hard, there's always hope.
Yeah.
The fight for fairness is a journey, and every act of courage, even the small ones, makes a difference for a better future.
That's a great way to put it. And on that note, we'll leave you with this thought.
Okay.
Who are the underdogs in your life, and what are they fighting for?
Mm.
And how can you, in your own way, help them in their fight?
Yeah.
Remember, even a small act of courage can start a wave of change.
It can.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.